Welcome to Curating Boise, the podcast that celebrates the hustlers and the shakers, the ones that took the short route of being their own creative boss right away, or the ones that left their corporate jobs like me, your host, Catherine Wojcik. Hey everyone, thank you for tuning into episode 17, I think, for Curating Boise. I'm kind of taking a different spin in today's episode and not focusing on like the vintage or, you know, cool sign makers like my pal Jay or jewelry makers and so forth. I'm branching out since everyone's desperately wanting to get into spring. I follow some rad people that I think curate Boise through their planting. And today my guests are Gabrielle Craik and Isabel Craik.
Craik,
you're
recently
married?
Genevieve.
Okay. I couldn't find your new last name, so I wasn't sure.
That's great.
But I think this is a lot of people I think here in the area know who you are. Mm-hmm. You guys have been around for a while.
Yeah. So, yeah, my family actually homesteaded here in 1859. So, let me get this closer.
There you go.
So, yeah, our family has been here forever.
That is wonderful. And that's what I think that's amazing, too. And I love the fact that your family seems to be rooted here as well, as far as the kids go, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
definitely.
So far.
And that's okay. I mean, and that's all right if you guys branch out and go somewhere else. That change is good. It always brings everyone back home, though.
It's true.
In the long run. So I think it's good. I'm sure your mom and dad had some traveling that they did.
Ooh,
I know
yes. We
did as well. Mm-hmm. That makes for the long haulers, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, my husband's actually Canadian, and I was originally from here, and he was a professional hockey player. We traveled for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Everywhere in North America. And when he decided to retire, it actually was here with the Steelheads.
Oh, my gosh.
And we ended up back here.
Well, that's great. So husband's a celebrity a little bit. Well, actually, I think you're probably more than the celebrity, actually.
So. You've definitely done a lot of things here.
Yes. So how I met the two of you, and I don't even know if Isabel would remember this, but Chaz and I were coming through town. We were coming here to do Vintage to the Core at the time, when we were doing with Salvage Sisters and Son, and we had come through, we were on State Street doing some stuff, and Isabel was doing Boise Bakery, earning money for school and whatnot, which was so admirable. It was great because my kids were very much like that as well, except theirs were, we'll give massages for 25 cents, you know, we're going to do another garage sale, and they, you know, pilfer the house, and I'd be like, we need that. But that was very enterprising of you to do.
Well, I have a mom that says that there's anything's possible. So
it's true.
There was definitely not any question, you know, in those areas of like exploring and finding new things. But I do remember you guys coming into the shop.
Oh, that's great.
And relating with you about the like sweet and savory thing or savory and sweet.
Savory and sweet.
And having that to remember and relate, and then, you know, admiring, you know, I think at that point it was like Instagram and everything. So.
Oh, yeah, because I had my bakery in Redondo Beach at that time.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And then part of that little shop was also BY's Goods.
Correct.
And so that, once that all closed up, because Isabel had raised her money and she was ready to take off and go to college and whatnot, you, Mom, decided it was time also to be done with BY's Goods.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, basically, we started it as a learning experience. We homeschooled the kids, and we were like, you know what better way to get experience than to actually do it?
Right.
And so.
And you had always been an artist and always been selling some sort of good or teaching people how to do things. So
right.
It was like your craft.
You know? Right, exactly. And so once that was kind of closed up, I had been a master gardener at Edwards Greenhouse for years. And getting that certification in 2005 and going to work for them immediately. And so that's where my heart really was.
Right.
Is being outside, being in the dirt, growing things, providing food. And so that was kind of my opportunity because we'd done that for 8 years. And I was just like, you know, we did it. Let's close. I want to do something else. Yeah. Lots of other little shops were opening up that filled that need of local handmade vintage.
Especially right there on State Street,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
There wasn't a lack of. And I think that sometimes people might think, oh, my God, they closed. I wonder, you know, they try to spin this, like, crazy
negative
scenario, negative, yeah, spin on why. It's really not anything like that. It's just that it's lived its course, and now we've got another adventure to, get in that tool belt.
Yeah, I remember when it came time, I was like, okay, well, I do want to go to school, not knowing exactly what I wanted to go to school for, of course, and had that opportunity that I didn't have to keep this going, you know.
Correct.
It wasn't a, you have to have the, you know, you have to do this. And so it did open up more opportunities, and I think at the time we didn't have a garden. Like, there was really not a ton of...
We had moved.
Yeah, we had moved. Right. We were in a rental. It was kind of all this switching around, and I saw the program at the CWI.
Which is
great. I was like, okay, I want to try that. Right.
Yeah, and I remember watching your growth, you know, on the different Instagrams and watching what you were doing and how it was all moving into what is now known as Be Wise Gardens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't want to skip over, though, Makers Unwound. I want to touch on that super quick because I believe you may have done a post where I ran into you somewhere and you guys might be resurrecting that. Or what do you think?
I think it will never really die for me.
Okay.
It was something that has been around in my head since about 2001.
Okay.
And so when we started printing it, it was doing really well. And then everything, the print market, kind of slumped a little bit.
Yeah.
And then closing our actual shop, I didn't realize how much of an opportunity that was to sell things.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly to take this printed thing that was very expensive to print and wholesale it to other places.
Right.
It was like, wait, I'm going to make like 18 cents a copy.
I know.
Maybe that needs to be reinvented at a later date.
Sure. And sometimes it's not always about the dollar.
Right.
I mean, I know like with my things, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I just want to see this go to someone's house.
Exactly.
I just want them
exactly.
to get my charcuterie and cheese on their table and enjoy it.
Yep.
So sometimes you don't. A lot of us creatives just don't, we're not overly concerned with that, but we probably should be a little bit more. So I hear you on the 18 cents, but I got to tell you that Makers Unwound zine was beautiful.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, we never got a chance to get in there, but hopefully in the future we can resurrect that.
Well, we still have that edition.
You do?
We just haven't printed it.
Okay, well, it's gorgeous. And I miss seeing, you know, it in the shop. I know people loved grabbing it and purchasing it and taking it home, but I get the whole 18 cents. Maybe we can get that to like, I don't know, 50 cents. But that, Makers Unwound was like 2014, because I was looking back when you guys did your first post on that.
Yep.
So, all right. So now we're at, let's see, I think your last post for Makers Unwound, if I'm right, is this correct? 2020 of March?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So 2020, which seems like it was forever ago.
Yeah,
it does.
It really does. It feels like a lifetime ago, right?
So much.
But Be Wise Gardens hits like April 2019 is your first post that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me how you guys decided to go ahead and get into, because I know you and your mom were like working together and creating at your home that you purchased and have since sold and now into another new project.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were working on the garden, making it super, what's the right word? Very environmentally
sound. Sustainable.
Experimenting,
right?
Yeah. That was kind of the first time that we had worked on that together.
Together.
When I was a kid, she just kind of planted that seed, you know, of here's how to have a vegetable garden. And, you know, this can always be a possibility. But I didn't know all that it took and then went through that program. And it kind of evolved naturally, I would say, as far as, like, I was reaching the end of my associate's degree.
Okay.
And I was starting to find more of where I wanted to go with that, because there's so many facets to gardening and design and landscaping and all that environmental, you know, considerations. And so I think it was more of like, I knew I didn't want to do this or that or this. I had kind of tried throughout the program. I did an internship.
Like florist or whatever.
Yeah, floristry or something. Or I did an internship with the Nampa City Parks and Rec at our arboriculture.
Oh, wow.
Which was really cool. It was a small group of three of us and or four of us with me. and it was really cool and eye-opening, but I kind of defined, okay, I don't want to be an arborist, although it is like something I admire.
Is that something that forgive me for not really knowing what every single one of these persons does.
Yeah.
Would this be what the people who also work at the botanical garden would be
arborists? Yeah, they definitely have arborists. It can be for roses. It can be for shrubs. It can be for large trees. For the woody Nampa city. Yeah.
Basically woody anything things. Woody.
Mm-hmm. Woody. Okay.
Yeah. Well. For the city, it would be like all their city trees, keeping them healthy and all that.
Right. Right.
That doesn't sound, I don't know. That sounds a little.
It's a little dangerous.
Uncreative and dangerous. Yeah, for
it
sure.
It is fascinating, yeah. But it is, it's definitely hard on your physical body.
Definitely.
Right.
Right.
So basically we closed up the shop. And Tristan and I, her oldest brother, were like, what do we do? And he was in a program at that moment to become an herbalist.
Wow, look at all of you
and
guys.
So
all
it was
things.
Like, you know, I didn't have anything to do. And I'm not really good sitting around. I've had 19 businesses.
Terrible. I have
and
that same energy.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to gardening and see what comes of it. And knowing that she was going to school for that. And so basically Tristan and I started just doing personal gardening at that moment, just basically just putting our name back out there. And we had enough former people from when when I worked at Edwards and did consulting.
All right.
And so enough people just said, oh my gosh, yes, please come.
Yeah.
And so we started doing personal gardening and just kind of dipping our toe back into that realm while she finished school. And so we did that for a full season before she got done. And then we just fully dived in at that point.
That's great.
Yeah. And I mean, I was living at home at the time. And so do you feel like having that of me talking about whatever I was learning constantly,
absolutely.
needing help with things or whatever, kind of reignited
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You guys kind of find the niche for yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was always really important to us. Obviously, we were making, like you said, our property into a sustainable space and getting rid of the monocultures and that kind of thing.
Right.
Which is grass, by the way.
I have to ask you that.
Yeah. And anyway, so we were, working on that project, and it was kind of known as our test garden. And
Which was gorgeous.
Right. Was great for to practice things and, start weird plants that wouldn't normally grow here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just kind of just tumbled into just getting right back into where ultimately I love to be, which I would just be outside 24/7 if I could.
Creating beautiful spaces.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And really teaching people. That's where my heart is.
Okay, so when you guys were putting that together, did you guys have people come onto your property and do hands-on with them?
We did until COVID hit.
Okay.
And so we were actually in the process of going to start workshops and have people come and start seeds and do all that. And COVID just kind of descended upon us.
A lot.
And we just had to just do just personal gardening.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where I think we want it. We really love teaching people and giving them information so that they can be successful.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys are, I look at your stuff all the time. I'm just like, holy Hannah, I wish I could do that.
Aww.
I mean, be that. Know what goes with what and what doesn't require maybe so much of our water resources and getting rid of the grass. My husband and I have just killed off our front lawn, and I'm telling him, I told him this morning, now that the two gals that I'm having on my podcast this morning are the two that I told you I want them to come to the house and look at our front yard and help us design a sustainable, non-watering kind of,
definitely
eco, front yard.
Yeah.
Because we're right on the corner of Broadway and Targhee. So with dead grass, it really is obvious. But we always tell everyone there's a purpose to this.
We promise.
So where do the bees come in? Because you guys were doing beekeeping for a little while.
Well, from the name that you've always kind of had.
Bee-wise,
with environmentally friendly mission.
Which that actually started in 2007 with we made reusable grocery bags before they were a thing.
Wow.
And we shipped them all over the country to grocery
stores.
And that's
like the reusable ones you see in the grocery store.
Yeah, so it was called Shopwise Beewise. And so
such a brilliant name.
Until we found out that Shopwise was a grocery store in Thailand.
Oh.
And so our copyright attorney
started sending all those emails and you're like, what?
He was like, just in case you ever get bigger than the grocery store, you should probably change your name. So we just changed. We just took Shopwise off and left Beewise.
Yeah.
Because it kind of encapsulated everything we're about. And so for about, 5 years, we just made reusable bags. I mean, thousands upon thousands. And then suddenly it became a thing. And you could get them for a dollar. And again, it came back to
5 cents
margin, that 5 cent thing where I was like, you know, but then at that point we had the shop and we just kind of kept going.
Yeah. But then for you, the beekeeping thing, I don't know where that came from. I'm actually curious about this because it feels like you just were like, hey, I want to try beekeeping.
Well, all of a sudden I was like, we're going to do bees and we're going to have them pollinate and this and that. And all of a sudden she's getting this equipment. And I was like, all of a sudden looking for equipment for her.
Yes.
I was like, I got to help her.
It's true. So the bee thing was honestly just an obsession with, you know, being sustainable.
Okay.
You know, really it's about sustainable. And it's, I watched a couple of documentaries. We went to one that was brought here where it was, I can't remember what that was. I think it was called The Pollinators in like maybe like 2018. And I just was like, I of course dived into it, bought 20 books, listened to every podcast imaginable, every documentary I could find about bees. And I just really have a heart for just helping, you know, honestly. And when I read the statistic that 85% of the reason that bees are not extinct is because of urban beekeepers.
Oh, wow.
And so it was like, oh, they could be extinct without urban beekeepers. Jeez. I guess I need to be
a beekeeper.
So I just like got all the stuff, got the bees, did it for 3 years, and then our business got so busy because beekeeping is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah,
and it is a full-time
hobby.
Like
something you got to keep up on.
It's a full-time hobby.
It's and like livestock.
It's like
you got to keep them happy.
It's husbandry, and so you either are in or you're gonna fail at it. And the mentor that I had for beekeeping, he was like, so as soon as you think that you know everything about bees, just remember you know nothing about bees. And he goes, and you'll never know anything about bees.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, and I was like, you know. So what I did that following year, which is now like 2 years ago, is I just put it out to the local beekeeping groups that they could have my yard.
Oh.
So then somebody that was fully invested, had all the time, brought her bees to our yard. And then she maintained them. We got the benefit of having the pollinators and keeping, you know, that kind of thing alive without having to do
all the
constant
intensive work.
It was very cool to see. I was less invested than she was, but I was just kind of, you know, watching on the sidelines.
Well, and I think you have to like enjoy being around those kind of insects as well.
And you can't be afraid of them.
Right. Which I'm sure you're not if you're in a garden all the time.
Yeah, you get used to it. Yeah, you get used to it.
Because they definitely zing you and do whatever.
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah, I mean, I would say unless something drops on me and is really big or something, I'll just, kind of.
We call her actually Snow White because she rescues all bugs.
Aww.
And like takes them
outside. Hey, if I see
them. Like a little bird, like look at my bird.
Yeah, spiders. It doesn't matter what it is. She collects it and takes it outside.
Well,
sings it
great.
A song.
That's cute. So if you ever want to get back into it, I mean, did you spend any time in Utah because they're the bee state?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, I get a lot of honey from them over there.
Cool.
Yeah,
I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
I try to get it locally, but some of the local ones, sometimes they're struggling a little bit, you know, to keep
harvesting.
Going. Yes. So I have to reach out and I want to stay on the Pacific Northwest. So Utah is usually my go-to.
Right. Nice. And that is one of the keys of keeping bees alive and keeping them healthy and sustainable is buying honey and specifically buying honey that isn't processed in another country or filled with corn syrup.
Right. You know? Yeah. So I do a lot of raw honey too, just because I love the crystallization in it. It's my alternative to the expensive honeycomb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as good. It's yummy, crunchy.
Absolutely. Yep.
Nice.
All right. So where are you guys? So Beewise Gardens, you now in a new home. You've completely, when I saw that you were selling that house, I was like,
what are you thinking?
I think they literally just shoveled the last piece of dirt. Like, you know, what are you thinking? But I think you guys enjoy challenges.
Absolutely.
New adventures. So how's the new, what's going on at the new homestead gardening wise?
It's going to be really exciting, I think. I specifically bought it because I saw a window in a terrible Zillow photo.
Okay.
And I was like, I have to see that house. And once I saw the house, I was like, I have to have that house. And then I looked at the yard, and it was somebody that was in a horticultural society. He was a pathologist that died and owned the home. And it has 102 roses. It has 48 Japanese maples. Countless peonies, hundreds and hundreds of peonies.
Oh my gosh, my favorite.
He definitely seemed like a collector, you know, that had
a lot
had of
really
intention.
Good bones.
It does. Yeah. It's in disrepair.
And I would say, this is just my opinion, but I would say that you are definitely motivated by the project of it.
Absolutely.
Because like the last house, Yeah, it was completely grass.
Yeah.
And pretty much all that existed there was yellow jackets.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And once we started introducing new things, it really transformed, and there
That's
was
so
less,
good.
You know, just yellow jackets. There's more butterflies, more this, that, and the
yeah.
other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like this one's definitely not at the same beginning.
Right.
It's very established. And you've only been there since October, so it's like, what is alive and what's happening?
I can't
happening?
Wait. Sure. Oh, yeah. You guys will see all sorts of things.
Yeah. So they're just kind of like you're kind of freshening it up and taking care of it again. Mm-hmm. It probably has been neglected for maybe a year or two or something like
probably,
that.
Probably. But probably longer, because if he really was elderly, like we had to take
a
wheelchair
lift. Yeah. So there's a lot of things
we're
going to.
Could just like clip a few and put them in the house, but not so much trim.
Yeah.
And keep it going.
So so basically the focus is going to be just getting that back to you know, something that's beautiful and, you know, bringing everything back into, you know, prune it and maintain it and that kind of thing. And then add in vegetable garden, greenhouse, you know, get rid of a bunch of grass again.
So you're feeding your home as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That will always
great.
Be the fun part.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a hobby. I mean, it is our business, and you know, now, but it's still, you know, that space that you get to return to at home is your
it's a sanctuary.
Hobby. Yeah, you're creating your own sanctuary.
So I'm sure that, so when we have hobbies, like for me, it was junking for a while, right?
It always turns into a job.
And, right, then it ends up turning into a job, or your business is keeping it fresh so that it doesn't start feeling like it's work. We're our own bosses, and that's part of like curating Boise is looking at people that maybe went to college like I did. You know, I was an aerospace engineer by profession. You went to school, you're using your craft though in your business, but people who've decided to be their own bosses, so keeping it fresh so that it doesn't become like that. Oh, I got to get up and trudge to the job.
Yeah.
If that's how you're feeling about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that go to the office and love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had moved past that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So keeping it fresh, how are you guys going to do that?
You know, I think that's always an interesting question, because that is something that comes up regularly. And kids would come into my shop, or your artist would meet up with me and go, oh my gosh, you have my dream job.
Right.
You know, and you're like, well, it's still a job.
Still a job.
The bookkeeping is a
I think that's probably the biggest complaint amongst.
It is. It's the technical side of it, where you're just like, oh, I have to do my taxes and that kind of thing. But how I think we keep it fresh is that we do treat it really like her property is an entirely different project. Hers is, you know, completely gravel, like her front and backyard.
She's to going xeric native. Route. Native plants, but also xeric low water use. And then I have a little vegetable garden, so it has zero lawn. It's smaller.
And it's
like
beautiful.
It's like a 16th of a, I don't know what it is.
It's a normal city lot.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Normal city lot.
So I think that to keep it fresh, we are constantly experimenting.
Okay.
And we're starting plants or bringing plants. When we went to Joshua Tree, Isabel brought back some agave, right?
There was a little nursery.
Just trying things that are new and interesting and seeing what will work.
I would say that the aspect of gardening, there's always something to learn, and that portion of what we do, you know, our own personal gardening or helping other people implement gardens or maintain, there's so much to learn, and there's always something new that we discover.
Right.
That it doesn't get old in that sense. There's definitely days where I'm like, oh gosh, I'm tired or something, you know, or it's 100 degrees outside or something
like that. Or especially when we have a client that's like, I want you to remove this entire berm of grass. And you're like,
oh gosh, you're like, jeez.
So there's definitely those parts that I guess every client is different too.
Right.
Every person needs something different. Mm-hmm. We are trying to find that balance between creating like a system of operations, like, you know, how we approach plants. We definitely want it to be bee friendly. We want it to be, you know, as low water use as possible, still looking lush and, you know, adapted to this environment that we have.
Right.
Or unique microclimates that we deal with. But I don't know. There's just so much I still am excited to learn about.
Right.
And I'm not sure yet. I mean, obviously, you know, you've been doing it for 20 something years. And
do you guys butt heads?
Yeah.
That's
me more with her.
Me being like, not like fighting. It's more like
different communication styles.
Very right. much.
And okay. But we have worked together for very long time.
A long time.
Yes, you have. So,
but I say how that
it's not really, it's not really bad different. Butting heads. Yeah.
Well, we process differently. I am an extremely fast thinker, fast decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, if somebody's like, oh, I don't really like Juniper, but I'm like, but oh, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like you
and
don't
she'll
have
be over there doing
wrong.
This. Like, what are you doing?
Like, let's listen to the client.
I'm the person that's like, I do have a fear of being wrong, which I, okay, you know, okay. I'm working on.
Sure.
All the time.
Right.
But good. She good doesn't, luck. I don't think.
No. I'm no. wrong all the
it's,
time.
It's so. Admirable. It's right. inspiring.
I think quick decision making is good.
Definitely.
I'm that way. Necessary. My husband's a little bit more like, you know,
methodical.
Wait, hold on. Let's
and I'm like,
take
I'm,
the
we're
steps.
Moving
I'm
on.
Like, I've already jumped four steps.
Yep. That's definitely yeah. me. I'm like, oh, wait.
That's what you guys will find. You guys have obviously been, like you said, Isabel worked together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no mounds in the ground anywhere that aren't, we don't know what's under the mound.
Right.
So that's
true.
Good. No one's killed anyone. So, sure. yeah. you know, that's good. And it's good to learn from each other.
Yeah.
Your mom's
it is.
Got a lot
she's taught
up here.
Me yeah. so much. Yeah. But yeah. I that's irreplaceable. It's very valuable to me.
Well, and I think, too, like, homeschooling your kids changes relationships drastically.
Oh, I bet.
And so I really had the opportunity to
that's
get to know them as individuals, right? Okay. And I have four of them. And so they were all so distinctly different. And I'm personally a formula person where I'm like, 1, 2, 3, let's get it done.
Right.
And I realized early on, oh, darn. 1, 2, 3.
It's not
going to
work with
oh,
the other
it
one.
It only works with one kid.
The first one.
Exactly. And so,
yeah.
And especially working with her so much in the bakery, which my other kids I've done other things with, but she would just go in the bathroom and need like quiet space.
If I was having
space.
A hard time, sure. she yeah, would, okay, and, let's breathe through this.
And I right. had to be willing to go, oh, she's not working anymore. I better kick it into gear.
Right.
And we worked it out, and it didn't become like a person, like it wasn't a personal attack or it wasn't a character issue. It was just, this is how each person processed.
That's
and
good.
So now in our business, her oldest brother works with us and does a very specific thing. Her younger sister works with us. My other son works with us on and off. And then his girlfriend works with us full
okay.
time. So we, you know, we get a lot of opportunities
that's
to work
good.
Through things.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's. And it's a good thing for other people listening to the podcast to hear, because I know that that's the question, you know, when we take off and do a small business, sometimes we get a little like, you know, so hands on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where we micromanage ourselves mm-hmm. so much that when someone you're, you know, even thinking about bringing anyone else in, you're kind of like, I don't know.
That's
oh,
yeah.
It sounds like
yeah.
a really hard thing to do.
And mm-hmm. it is.
It totally.
It is hard. And totally. But at the same time,
you only get better by doing it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And sorry, at the same time, what?
Well, it's just in my nature is to work through things. I was raised by hippies. I was, yep. you know, raised in the 70s. It's all about communication. And believe me, my one son is like, will you just tell me what to do?
Right.
I just want you to tell me what to do.
You don't need to, like, try to make it all nice.
Yeah, we don't need to sing kumbaya.
Right.
We don't need to do
just
this.
Just need to know, where do you want me to go with the shovel?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I would say one of those things that adds to that, like, dynamic of working together is that I, you know, the situation, the job, the project is only has as much pressure as I put on it.
Right.
And so I have to remind myself that, you know, if I'm getting stressed out or something, I'm putting that pressure on this. You
sure.
know, it's not such a huge, you know, landscaping in general is not such a make it or break it moment that.
Right.
You know,
well,
and
it
that's
should
just
be,
my
I
personality.
Would, yeah. And I would think that
it's
if you're landscaping too, that should be zen.
Yes.
a little
yes.
bit, right?
Gardening has taught me a lot more like patience and. You
yes.
know, I don't know. Yes.
Relaxation,
sure. yes.
maybe. Just get yourself in a zone of,
yeah.
you know, just being in that moment.
And it's true. And I mean, the only consideration with, you know, then shifting from my own yard where I'm like, yeah, let's see if that works, to a client's yard is when somebody's written you a check for $20,000.
Right. You better make sure those things are going to work.
It isn't
for
so
sure.
experimental. And
which
so
is kind of where that test garden is so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then we can really define what works and what we can really have a lot of confidence in for
nice.
Our clients, you know.
That's mm-hmm. great. So on the Instagram, I always see a lot of like beautiful sketching going on. Who's behind that most of the time?
We actually split those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of us. So hers, you know, like if you compared them, you could see like a difference.
Difference.
But yeah, we're both doing it. I mean, she did it back when she went through the Master Gardener program. In different ways, and then I learned through CWI, and so we have a little bit different style. But
and I also have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in drawing and painting, and so mine are like artsy, like mine are like freewheeling, and they're never the same.
Okay,
I mean they are as far as like scale.
How do you guys decide who's going to design for the client?
It's just availability, kind of. It starts to, you know, because we both have the same goal, you know, as far as like what we want it to look like or how it serves the client. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's mostly availability because we don't it really, is. We just kind of split them up however they come
or,
in.
Or if one of us really wants a project.
Yeah,
so once we do
true.
The consultation, and there was a one that I did last year that I just really wanted to
do. Right.
And that particular person was a very artsy person that wanted to frame and hang up the drawing.
Oh,
and so then I was like, I want to do that.
I want to have more of a hands-on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so that's how we kind of.
And we're in the process of teaching my sister how to do it. So we'll see how that goes too.
Your sister Annie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Very good. So one of my clients, Katie McFerrin, mm-hmm. who is one of your good friends.
Mm-hmm. My best friend, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. BFF. Mm-hmm. Have you, because her stuff too is amazing. Her, the homes that she has, that she brings on the market.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to get Katie in here. That's like real estate, which is really different, but I like her story too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How she
cool
got
lady.
Into it, it you is. Know, and then how she ended up staying in it.
Mm-hmm.
But have you designed anything for her clients?
Actually, she's referred us a couple of times.
That's great.
We haven't gone to the design process. I think a lot, this is not necessarily true. this is my theory. I think a lot of those like design builds that they do, like where like Katie McFerrin does, they already have an architect. They already have like that kind of thing. Maybe they need someone to consult.
Or they simply need a landscape.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Something manicured.
They want the front, the garden appeal, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I actually did more stuff for her brother, Luke, with Timber and Love than I have for Katie. So.
Oh, that's her brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that.
We did a few things for him. And then, but yeah, we haven't done anything for her.
We haven't designed anything yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that may come. Yeah. So what are you guys thinking? Do you guys did this year bring a challenge that you guys are working on to tackle, like in this year of 2022? We are in 2022, right?
Oh, yes. My gosh. Can't even believe it.
I want to know, like, what's the challenge that you know, like, oh, we've been battling this, and you guys sat down and said, okay, look, we need to figure this out this year. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to know, is there something besides what you've already done and started that you want to do, like, for the future?
Oh,
like, where do you want to see this maybe next year or 2024?
Okay. So I'd say a personal challenge for me being the bookkeeper is, and getting older.
Right.
Is that I have a lot to do already with my, like in my own property and whatever, and moving trees and spending 8 hours in like seriously hard labor is a little bit hard for me at this point.
Yeah.
And so I want to move myself more to a stand and go, hey, put that over there.
Okay.
And it
more delegation.
Yeah. And also then making sure that everybody gets paid enough.
Okay.
So we've set down some goals of, okay, how much do you want to make a year? How much do you want to make a year? And, and bringing those numbers backwards to, okay, this is how many jobs we need to take. This is how we need to schedule. And so that, because I'm at a place where I don't really need the money, but they do.
Right.
And so I would rather work myself into a bookkeeper, consultation, plant placer, you know, that kind of thing, designing.
That's a great approach to it, too. How much do you want to make? And, of course, I mean, being within reason.
Right, exactly.
You can't start off going, I want to make 90 grand.
No,
but, you know, that will not happen.
Yeah.
So that's my challenge.
What about you, Isabel?
I would say that definitely creating, like, a stable job for whoever may work with us. Because, I mean, so far we see it being design and install.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a point where, you know, as my life progresses, might just be install. I can always design. Might just be design. I can always design, but I have to have a team to install stuff.
Correct.
So having that stability for people, whoever they may be, you know, I really appreciate working with my siblings, but, but whoever that might be. And then
diversity is good. Someone outside the family might be nice.
And then I would say, just honing in on that craft of designing. And I really, really enjoy the artistic side of it.
Right.
And creating things that are also, you know, reflecting the environment that we have and that we're moving into. things that don't need as much care, as much water, as much, you know, this, that, and the other.
Right.
But yeah, just staying open to learning and being able to pivot as well as I can.
Right. Good. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, good.
Yeah. And then going forward, definitely getting more drought tolerant, Xeric, you know, and people immediately, when you say those words, they kind of freak out a little bit because they're just like, oh, that's ugly.
Sounds
that's
like a lot
dry.
Of rock.
And cacti.
Yeah. Right,
cacti,
exactly.
Which, yeah, doesn't really do that well here.
And then the other side of it that, you know, starting, because I think people are more informed now because they can do searches.
Right.
Xeric, when I was starting, people were like, oh, I planted it. And then I'm like, but it's dead. And they're like, well, I didn't water it. And I'm like,
well, it needs a little bit.
You got to water it for 3 years.
Right.
Constantly.
Yeah, before you walk away.
Exactly. Yeah. And people are like, what? You know, so I think moving forward for me would be more education, getting more, you know, videos out there, you know, beefing up our YouTube channel, that kind of thing, really getting that information out specifically about the high desert.
That would be great. Yeah,
because
exactly.
There's beautiful websites that I pour through for inspiration or whatever,
right.
And they're in Washington or Oregon, mm-hmm. and they're so lush and gorgeous.
Yes.
Or like, California.
You can have that look, but it has to be these specific plants or these specific things. Yeah. And having more notoriety for that. There's a beautiful book that just came out called... Gardens of the West or something like that.
Yeah, the one that Marianne Newcomer was there.
I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, it's Gardens of the West.
Okay.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's California up, you know, around through. There is a little bit of Pacific Northwest, but there's also Idaho in there. And it just paints a better picture of what Xeric might look like or what environmentally friendly might look like or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's I think, Gabrielle, that's a good thing to move forward on and teach people about because – we see these pictures and we're like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
But I might be able to get that same look, but it's not going to be that.
No,
plant.
Right. Exactly.
But you guys will be able to identify an alternative.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of our
That's
job
great.
Is communicating that to people.
Sure.
And
really
that.
Talking people out of just that the only way that something looks beautiful and lush is with this huge lawn and roses and bay laurels and, you know, these things that really don't do well here without... like tedious care, because that's one thing that new gardeners specifically, and maybe even midway gardeners, is they think, well, I'm going to put all these hydrangeas in because I'm always going to have this much time to take care of them.
Right.
Which isn't going to necessarily be true. And
exactly.
So we would rather that people invest in one, a good design, and then in the right plants for the area so that it has the longevity to be beautiful for decades.
That's great.
Rather than, because I mean, it's kind of like, being against fast fashion, we're also against fast, you know, landscaping.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, because those when you do things that only follow trends, then you're tearing it out and you're planting, you know, and you're doing this thing where it's just kind of, it's wasteful for your money and time and sustainability.
I really don't like, I love beautiful flowers in there, but I got to constantly thinking this will die. So I don't like doing that. So I did plant a lot of bulbs this year.
For bulbs.
I know. And I was like, we're going to do this. And so I just kind of did this whole like area and
that'll be awesome.
You know, I'm anxious to see what that's going to bring. Yeah, yeah. I'm very excited.
Nice.
How do you guys get the word out about yourselves that you're available for design?
We have like our landing page, you know, that kind of gives a good description. I'm trying to update, you know, what our availability is and how we communicate, you know, what our openings are. But otherwise, it's been a lot
it's
of referrals.
Just word of mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And right now, are you guys content with that? Or are you guys wanting to get more?
It's too much. So content is
content.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, good.
Yeah, we're already booked. So, I mean,
we're working on June.
And people are
right
like,
now.
You just need to hire more people. And I'm like,
I get that with Savory and Sweet, though. People are like, are you busy? And I'm like, I'm busy enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, I probably could take a few more orders, but that then makes me not happy about placing the cheese and the meat.
Right.
You know, it gets just a little, it's a lot, you know?
It is.
That's the task right there.
And you want to love it. So.
Yeah. And the only way that we could take on more really is if we had more people. But then finding people is hard.
But right now you guys got your family and I think you guys are still in growth mode. Which I think is great, but I think you guys are doing a great job. Tell me, is there one or two properties that people, if they listen to the podcast and they want to see your work without intruding on the person's property, where they could do a drive-by maybe and see some of your work?
I mean, definitely the hill and 28th.
Yeah, okay. That'll be the biggest one that, you know, though we have moved, it's right there on the corner. So okay. You can kind of peek it. In, you know. And
so hill and 28th.
And then mm-hmm. your house on
Yeah, my Castle house. Bar. Yeah, it's over by Edwards. I mean, that's my test garden.
That's
you know,
great.
I'm planning on using it as examples whenever okay. people need
and so that's
kind of a visual.
Castle Bar, West Castle Bar. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't miss it because it's the only one.
With all the like, gravel.
Yeah, that looks a certain way. And Espalier trees and arches. Right. And, you know, it's very beautiful. It's
okay, a, great.
We've done a couple businesses, but we've done, like, there's that cute little salon on
Thistle and
Vista.
Oh,
yeah, Thistle and
Poppy.
Poppy, yeah, that's on
that
Vista.
That one just got installed in October, so I'm curious to see how it matures. But we did okay. it in perennials, so.
Oh, nice.
It should stick around for a while. And,
And then hopefully somewhere down the road, hopefully if my husband, I'll make him listen to this podcast.
Yes.
I get you guys to my house.
Definitely.
The corner of Broadway and Targhee, which you will
Great.
Not be able to miss.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to that. So people can find you, of course, at Be Wise Gardens mm-hmm. with an S
mm-hmm.
On Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And BeWiseGardens.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's your landing place, and they can go to there. Yep. Isabel's working on getting everything kind of uploaded and up to date and stuff, and they'll be able to get a hold of you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you guys, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for having us.
Yeah, I've enjoyed talking to you guys and learning a little bit more about you, and I always love running into you guys around town, which is great.
Yeah, thank you
well,
so
thanks
much.
For listening to Curating Boise, and again, please go to at Be Wise Gardens, check out their Instagram. From there, you can drop onto some of their other pages. They're a great family, very unified, and I really dig that.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. Hope you guys like what you heard. If you want to listen to more episodes, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. To see how I'm doing my part in curating Boise, check out my Instagrams at SavoryN, that's the letter N, Sweet Inc., and at Salvage Sisters and Son. Tune in next week. Peace.